His love and in His pity He redeemed us. In His love and in His pity He provided help. Never has another loved us like the Savior loves. How could anyone suspend himself upon a cross and die for me? Die willingly to set us free. But He did love. He had pity on us. He provided heaven's love. Shall we not return the favor, live each day for our dear Savior, and one day He will return for us. How He suffered in the garden for your sin and mine. See Him drudge up Calvary's mountain, not my will, but Thine. Cursing mobs and angry soldiers spit upon that face. Then the night came when the darkness rolled the depth to which man's sin would go. Jesus died. He loved us so. Yes, He did love. He had pity on us. He provided heaven's love.
Thank you, Brother Bob. 25 years ago, last Wednesday evening, or last Wednesday, Brother Todd Laster walked down that aisle and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. 22 years ago, after he had surrendered his life to preach the gospel, not having yet gone to Bible college, we hired him to work our bus ministry and lead our bus ministry. And needless to say, his duties have expanded over the years. And we're grateful for all God has used him to do and lead here in the ministry of this church. He has more on him now as an associate pastor than most pastors of churches have. And we're grateful for him. I hope you'll listen carefully this morning and allow God to speak to your hearts. I would also suggest that if you're going to be here at the 6 o'clock hour for the question and answers this evening, you make it early to get a parking place up close. The Spanish will be in here tonight and Wednesday night. And so I want you to be aware of that. Otherwise, you may be sitting up in the balcony if you linger and come in late. Remember, the front seats will go early. Brother Todd, God bless you. Come preach to us, sir.
All right. Thank you, preacher. And again, let me say a word of thanks to our pastor and to our pulpit committee for allowing the process to reach this point. I also want to thank Brother Sam for making the song service special and singing some favorite songs, and I appreciate that and all that has been invested into this day. As our pastors mentioned, 25 years ago on Wednesday, it was a Sunday night, December the 2nd, 1984. The preacher was preaching, and I sat back about the third pew from the back there with my wife. At that time, my soon-to-be 30-year-old daughter was 5 years old. At that time, she was asleep on the pew. She was asleep on the pew, and the preacher preached. The invitation started. We all stood, and the invitation just went on and on and on. And finally, he said, God is speaking to someone about their soul right now. So we're going to sing one more verse. Well, about that time, there was a tap on my shoulder from behind me, and I turned around, and I looked, and it was a lady that was sitting, and her and her husband were sitting right behind us. That couple I will ever be indebted to, that was Phil and Joanne Wells. She tapped me on the shoulder and she said, we'll watch the baby if you want to go. And I'm thinking, what makes her think I want to go? But you know what? It might as well have been the hand of God that tapped me on the shoulder. And I'm convinced, I've told my wife, I'm convinced, if I hadn't walked the aisle that night to be saved, I probably would not be alive today. I don't know about you, but God gave me plenty of opportunities to be saved. And the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me that night, and I'm convinced those words were as clear as what I'm speaking today. It's now or never. And I felt led to be now. And I came down that aisle, got saved, and the man working the altar said, well, you know, Mr. Laster, I know you was raised in a different religious background, and here's what we need to do, and you need to be baptized now. And I said, hey, if I'm coming this far, we're going all the way. We're doing everything at once. I don't want to drag this thing out. And I walked there, got baptized in that baptistry right there 25 years ago. And let me say to you that, you know what, if I had it all to do over again, I'd do it all over again. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for knowing the truth. You don't appreciate truth till you haven't had it. And as I was growing up in church, going to church to a degree, but didn't have the truth. And man, I tell you one thing, when I found out people could be saved and saved forever, I went crazy. And I kid you not, I went crazy. I thought, man, this is too good. Where has this been all of my life? It's right in the Bible where it's always been. Problem is, we just don't read it. And so thank God for Trinity Baptist Church and those who stuck with me through thick and thin and were persistent in keeping knocking my door. Knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked. And thank God for it. Well, take your Bible, if you would, this morning. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, if you would, please. We're going to read a verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, and then we're going to read a verse in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 23. Romans 8 and Philippians chapter 1. Would you stand with me, please? Romans 8, Philippians 1. Romans 8, verse number 6. The Scripture says, if you have a King James Bible, it reads like this. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, I don't meet too many people that's not what they want. They want peace. But he says, in order for that to happen, there must be, he says, to be spiritually minded. He says, because on the other hand, to be carnally minded is death. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 1, if you would, please. Paul was in this to be or not to be phrase, a phase in his life. You know, one of the great desires of any believer, though I love souls, I love to win people to Christ, I love to see people get in church, but my desire to be with Christ prevails more than anything in this world. I want to see the Lord, don't you? Hey, I'm not one of those that's just telling Jesus to hang on a little longer. I want Him to come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and come quickly. I'm ready. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul was in that frame of mind. He says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in this flesh is more needful for you." I want to talk to you this morning, church, if I could, for the time that we have. From Romans chapter 8, to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then I want you to look at the struggle that Paul had here in that to be or not to be state. To be with Christ, he said, which is better, but nevertheless, to be in the flesh is more needful for you. I think everybody in this room today can say, when you come and when you came this morning, everybody's in the frame of mind. And when we leave today, we're going to decide to be or not to be. Father, would you bless our time, and thank you for the privilege of church. Thank you that we're in a free country where we can come and serve and worship God. Thank you for all that you've done in our lives. Lord, you've been more gracious than any of us in this room have ever deserved. And we look forward to your blessings now. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. To be or not to be, that is the question. You know, I'm not a big William Shakespeare fan. Matter of fact, I had to read Hamlet. Did anybody else here had to endure Hamlet? If you did, then you understand where these famous words came from. And if you know anything about William Shakespeare, he wrote this play back in the 1600s. And to make a long story short, to bore you with all the details of Hamlet, basically it was drawn to a conclusion what he should do about avenging the death of his father who was murdered by his uncle, by pouring poison in his ear. Well, the news came to Hamlet by a ghost that communicated to him who killed his father. And Hamlet came to the conclusion, now, what should I do, to be or not to be? Should I take out my uncle or not take out my uncle? Now, I'm here to tell you today that I'm not a big fan of William Shakespeare nor Hamlet, and if you are, more power to you. But I want to take these words that were spoken there and that we've looked at in Romans chapter 6 and Philippians chapter 1, to be or not to be. Every time we come to church, we're going to make a decision. And you say, no, I'm not. Then you made the decision. Your decision was to be or follow the preaching of the Word of God or not to be. Every time we come to church, every Sunday school lesson, every sermon, every time I walk out these doors, I've made a decision to be or not to be. That's my question to you this morning. You see, you may not think that these words that we've looked at this morning, and you may not think that Hamlet's words were even useful for us today, but I'm here to tell you that these words are self-examining words. You know, I think each of us, when we come to church, need to examine ourselves. Where we are, how our walk is, where we are in our standing with Christ. We need to think about what we could be, and may I say, what we should be for Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a question? Are you struggling in your spirit today on this matter of to be or not to be? See, the thing about it is most of us in this room, it's not that we don't know what we're to be. What we struggle is whether we are going to be what we should be or not. The question is not what we know, it's are we going to follow through with it or not. That's what Hamlet struggled with. You see, some of us today are struggling with God's desires for our life. And we're struggling with spiritual issues to the point that it's keeping us awake at night and causing us undue stress. My wife was shopping not too long ago, and the cashier there, and she was talking with, and she said something along the nature of, this job seems very stressful. And the woman at the counter looked at my wife and she said, "Honey, I'm too blessed to be stressed." And you know, can I say to you today that if you're saved today, you're too blessed to be stressed over things that are unnecessary, that aren't going to amount to a hill of beans when it comes to Christ and the judgment seat and eternity. It's not going to mean anything. You see, if you'll listen closely today, if you've been thinking about these things, I need to be more than what I am for Christ, then let me ask you some more questions. Does God want the best for your life? Does He? Yes, He does. Does He want the best for your family? Yes, He does. Does He want the best men for your business? Yes, He does. Does He want the best for your church? Yes, He does. If the answer to any of these questions that I've asked is yes, then let me say to you, God has a way for you to be rather than not to be. He has a way for you to be what He's designed you to be. You know, in business or in sports, do you know that leadership in business and sports know what they want and need from you? Did you know that leadership sees the potential that you have to be great where you may not see the potential in you? You see, the company or the team presents you and I the opportunity, but may I say, ultimately, it's strictly up to you to either choose to be the guy or not to be the guy. You see, God presents everybody in this room today an opportunity to be somebody. Now, when I leave today and you leave today, I'm going to make a choice, am I not? I'm going to make a choice to either to be what God wants me to be or not to be. I'm going to make a choice this morning to do what God wants me to do or not to do what God wants me to do. But ultimately, everybody in this congregation today will decide to be or not to be. May I say to you, number one, that this morning we're going to either decide to be a worshiper or not to be. Take your Bible, if you would, this morning and turn to John chapter 4, if you would, please. Turn to John chapter 4 and verse number 23. John chapter 4 and verse number 23. I want you to notice what it says here. It says, "But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." You know what God wants this morning from us in this congregation? Worship! That word worship seems to be foreign to most of us. It's, listen, we're somehow afraid to adore Him, to love Him, to give Him the respect and love that He deserves as Creator, as Savior. You know what He wants from us? He wants worship. You see, before you ever came in this auditorium this morning, you already decided before you ever got here whether you were going to be a worshiper or not a worshiper today. Why would we come to the house of God and waste God's time in being something more than a worshiper? He wants that adoration from us. He wants that divine respect that's due unto Him. You see, some had already decided today whether they were going to be a worshiper or a bystander. Some have already decided whether they were going to be a worshiper or a non-participant. You say, "All right, preacher, then tell me, what am I to do to worship God?" Well, first of all, the Bible is filled with how we're to worship God, and one of them is by praising God. You say, are you telling me you believe in praise and worship? Yes, the way the Bible says that we're to praise and worship Almighty God. You see, right now, as you sit in your pew, you're deciding, are you going to be a worshiper or not a worshiper? Are you going to praise God or not praise God? Say, what do I have to praise God for? Boy, if you have to look that far. You know what, when I got up this morning, I pinched myself. I opened my eyes and looked around. You know the first thing I thought? I'm alive. I'm alive! And you know, before I even got out of bed today, I said, Lord, thank God I'm alive. Thank God He's given me another day to live. Do I deserve another day to live? Probably not. And probably neither do you. But for some reason, He's allowed me to live another day. You see, we're deciding whether we're going to be a worshiper or not. Whether we're going to praise God or not. Can I say to you, I watched as some took very casually the song service this morning. And yet, do you understand in Scripture that one of the ways to praise and worship God is through song? And you know, I don't find any place in the Bible where the Scripture says that just because you can't carry a tune in a bucket doesn't eliminate you from singing and lifting your voice unto God Almighty and just say, Lord God, I may not be able to stay on pitch, but I'm going to sing because in Scripture I know it's part of worship. We decided, am I going to worship or am I not going to worship? Am I going to be a worshiper or not a worshiper? Folks, why are we wasting our time and God's time if we're not going to be? That's the whole purpose of coming to church. I don't come to church to look around. I don't come to church to figure out if I can pick out the do's and don'ts in somebody's life. I came this morning for one reason and one reason only, and that's to bring glory to God. And that's to be a worshiper. A worshiper. But not only do we worship by praise and singing, but we worship by giving. Giving. You say, but Brother Todd, what if I don't have anything to give? Listen to me, if you're a believer, you have something to give. You say, no, look at my pockets. I don't have anything to give. Since when has money always been what you have to give? Do you not understand that God does command us to give a tithe and an offering? But you know, there's a lot of other places He commands us to give other things as well. And one of them is our time. Our time to somebody in need. You know, when we come to church, we should be looking for people to serve. We should be looking for people in time that are going through a difficult time. You see, we just decided this morning whether we're going to be a worshiper or not. May I say to you, number two, would you take your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11. You see, we're going to decide to be a worshiper or not to be. Do you know this afternoon, you'll have all afternoon to decide when you come back tonight whether you're going to worship or not. You're going to have an opportunity to decide. Listen to me, dear saint of God, decide before you ever get here that you're deciding, I'm going to participate in the worship of Almighty God. Let me tell you something. I heard a preacher say a long time ago that if we don't learn to worship now, listen, we're going to be miserable in heaven because that's what we're going to be doing for all eternity. He said, you know what we're doing right now? We're practicing. We're practicing for all eternity. He said, yeah, but then I'll have a glorified body. But may I say to you now, you have a choice now. You see, when you get to heaven, you get a glorified body, it's just going to be the natural thing to do. But now you have a choice. And that choice is out of your heart, out of your love, and out of your respect for God Almighty. Did you find your place in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 24? Many of you will recognize this as a chapter with the main subject of faith. But look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 24. The Scripture says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, not only do we decide to be a worshiper or not to be, What we're going to decide also this morning before we leave, we're going to decide to be conformed or not to be. We're going to decide this morning whether we're going to be conformed more to the image of Christ or not to be. You know the choice that Moses had to make? Am I going to stay in Egypt? Am I going to stay and be identified with the world and with all of the heathenistic practices that Pharaoh's daughter and this entire country is representing? Am I going to stay and be identified with that or not? Let me tell you something, dear friend. He walked away from a lot of money. He walked away from a lot of recognition and a lot of power. But you know why he did that? Because he chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to be identified as Pharaoh's daughter. He decided at that point to be conformed or not to be. Here was his choice. Stay in royalty and in heathenism or follow God and be conformed to the image of his son. You see, that word conform means to make like. It means to correspond in manners of Christianity internally and externally as well. You see, we're going to decide this morning to either conform to Christ or conform to the world. So we're going to decide to be of Christ or to be of the world. That's what we're going to decide. We're going to decide this morning to conform in our mind or not to be conformed in our mind. Take your Bible, flip over a few chapters, if you would, to Romans 15. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 15, if you would, please. Verse 5. Romans 15 and verse number 5. Notice what it says. Now the God of patience. Boy, that's good, isn't it? The God of patience and consolation grant you to be, circle this word in your Bible, like-minded, one toward another according to Christ or Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to decide this morning to either be a worshiper or not to be a worshiper. We're going to decide this morning whether to be conformed or not to be conformed in our mind and in our speech. Do you know, it would do all of us well to take time out to evaluate not only what we think, but what we speak. You ever spoken something and you think, man, I wish I hadn't said that? You say, yeah, did that this morning. But you know what the Lord wants to do? He wants our speech to be conformed. He wants our mind to be conformed. He wants our life to be conformed. And may I say to you, when we leave this morning, we're going to decide to be or not to be. We're going to decide to be a worshiper or not to be a worshiper. We're going to decide to be conformed to the image of His Son or not to be conformed. Let me give you another one. Turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 9. Turn to Mark chapter 9 and verse 35. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 35. Jesus speaking here. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 35. And he, speaking of Jesus, sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all. And I want you to notice this last statement. He said, and servant of all. You know what else we're going to decide to be or not to be this morning? Not only a worshiper, not only to be conformed, but we're going to decide when we leave this auditorium this morning to be a servant or not to be a servant. Folks, listen to me. You're looking at a sinner saved by grace, but can I say all of us are guilty of this? We do more taking than we do giving. We do more taking from God than we do giving. He gives more, and I take more than I give back to Him. Everyone is guilty, but He says if I'm going to be where I need to be in my Christian life, I'm going to have to decide to be a servant or not to be. I'm going to decide to be used by God or not to be used by God. Everybody in this room has some gift and talent that God has allowed you. And you know what He wants you to do? He gave you those talents and abilities to use in the service of God. to use through your local New Testament church. I'm going to decide, am I going to keep those gifts or am I going to give them? I'm going to decide this morning to either be a servant or not to be a servant. To extend a helping hand to a brother in need or not. See, Brother Todd, I don't see anybody in our church that's in need. Come talk to the pastor. He'll give you some names. You see, all I'm saying to you is we don't look around very much. But boy, I tell you one thing, when it is in our little scope of life, boy, we pay real close attention to that, don't we? But when it's in somebody else's life, isn't it amazing how we just look beyond? We don't notice what people are fighting and going through. Thank God if you have your help. Thank God if you have your eyesight. Thank God if you have good health this morning and that God has gifted you with that. Some don't. Thank God if you've got a nice car. Thank God if you've got a home to live in. Thank God if you've got clothes to wear and food to eat. Most of the world don't. I'm just here to tell you, we're going to decide to be a servant or not to be. To extend a helping hand to a brother in need or not. May I say also to exemplify the love and forgiveness of Christ or not. Would you take your Bible, look if you would, at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Anybody in here worthy of love and forgiveness? Outside of Jesus Christ? Thank God. Thank God for the love and forgiveness of Christ. Notice, if you would, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Paul says, and be ye kind one to another. By the way, does your Bible say that there's any criteria to that? Does it say you're to only be kind when people are kind to you? Does it say that you're only supposed to speak words of comfort when people speak words of comfort to you? Does it say that at all? It says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted. How about shedding a tear over somebody's trial? How about shedding a tear over a brother that's fallen away from God? How about let's try to find somebody that's out of church and get them back in church? How about let's just go looking for people that need a revival in their life and help them to get revived? He said, be tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You see, we're going to decide to be a servant or not to be. And may I say this to you, Christian? When you choose to be a servant, you also choose to be defrauded. When you choose to serve, what comes with service is being defrauded. You say, I don't want people to take advantage of you. Then you can never be a servant. Because people will take advantage of you. You say, I don't want to be taken to the cleaners. People will take you to the cleaners. I don't want somebody to get so close that somebody stabs me in the back. They will stab you in the back. Folks, look what they did to Jesus. And He did nothing wrong. Do you think they're going to treat us any differently? Absolutely not. Let me give you a couple more and I'll be done quickly. Look, if you would, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Philippians 4, verse 11. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want. He says, for I have learned. Wonder where he got his education from. Think he got it from Bible college? Think he got it from the synagogue? Now, you know where he got it? He got it from the University of Hard Knocks. That's where he got it from. He says, I've been a Christian long enough. I've gone through all these difficulties long enough. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You know one of the hardest things for us as sinners to do is be content with the state and with what God has given you. You know, one of the hardest things for us as a believer is to rest in our mind, in our present condition. You see, we're going to decide this morning to be content or not to be content. We're going to decide whether we're going to praise God regardless or we're going to gripe at God. Anybody ever griped at God? Say, oh, Brother Todd, not me. You must not be a human being then. Because let me tell you something. I don't gripe at God in public, but I tell you one thing. In my prayer closet, I've griped a few times. Let's just be real. Is that all right with y'all? You see, because sometimes things that came my way, I wasn't very content. And yet he says, whatsoever state, whatsoever condition. Listen to me. Whatsoever circumstances come your way. And you know, some of the circumstances that come into our life, I didn't choose, the Lord chose. You didn't choose for you, He chose for you. You say, but I carry such a heavy burden and scar. Let me tell you something. You know what? I bet there was a lot of learning that came with that though too, wasn't it? Huh? Yeah, there was a lot of learning. A lot of education came with that. You say, I don't understand why. Because He wants you to take what you went through and what state that you're in and use it to help somebody else that's going to be in that same state. It's a whole process. You say, your state's different than mine. It sure is. You can help some people, maybe I can't help. But may I say, when he said here that whatsoever state I'm in, and Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5 also refers to which such as with such things as you have to be content. Hey, everybody'd like a little more cash, wouldn't they? Everybody'd like a little more money in their bank account, wouldn't they? Everybody'd like to drive a brand new car, wouldn't they? Or own a brand new home? But you know what the Bible says? I'm to be content. Well, not only in the state I'm in, but what I have. You see, both of these questions just simply are reference to our faith. Can God take care of me or not? You see, He's not going to leave me nor forsake me. Is God able to deliver? I don't know. When you get to heaven, ask Daniel. Is God able to deliver? I don't know. Find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and ask them. Is God able to deliver? I don't know. When you get to heaven, ask David if God didn't spare him from the hands of Absalom. Hey, I tell you what, when we get to heaven, let's all gather around and ask Paul how many times he got spared from being murdered and stoned and beaten. Hey, I'm just here to tell you, is God able to deliver? Yes, He is. But you know, I'm with the three Hebrews, aren't you? But if not. Hey, but if not, you know what I'm going to do? I'm still not bowing. I'm still not bowing to the knees of false gods and false truths and false doctrines. We're going to decide to be content or not to be. Now, here's the last one. Take your Bible, Acts 26. Okay, Acts 26. Okay, Acts chapter 26, if you would please, and verse 28. You know, Paul was a witness, wasn't he? Man, I tell you one thing, I have prayed, Lord God, just give me a thimble. Just a thimble of His boldness. Just give me a thimble of His courage. And he wasn't afraid to witness to anybody. Here he is before Agrippa. He shares his testimony and makes an appeal to Agrippa. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, the Scripture says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You know, for some here this morning, you know what the decision is? It's not to be a worshiper, it's to be a Christian. When you walk out this morning, here's what you're going to decide. You're either going to decide to be saved or not to be. If you are saved, you know what you're going to do? You're going to decide this morning, after you're saved, to be baptized or not to be baptized. And then what you're going to decide is to be a member of a church or not to be a member of a good Baptist church. That's your decision. Just like Agrippa told Paul, hey, almost thou persuadest me to be. But you know what? His question was to be or not to be. Guess what he chose? Not to be. And as far as we know, Agrippa's in hell today along with a bunch of other infidels. You say, I don't know if I can be saved. May I say to you that you can be saved regardless of your previous lifestyle, because John 6 and verse 37, Jesus said He will in no likewise cast one out. You mean that I can come just as I am? Yes, thank God. Because let me tell you something, 25 years ago, I just came as I was. Hey, I already knew all that rot I was involved in. I already knew all that stuff I had done. But you know what? The Holy Spirit says, hey, go! It's not based on your previous lifestyle. It's based on what Jesus has done. You see, some are going to decide to be saved or not to be. I'm here to tell you, you can be saved regardless of your previous lifestyle. May I say, you can be saved regardless of your religious upbringing. Nicodemus, John 3:3. He's a pretty religious old boy, wasn't he? And yet the Scripture says Jesus looked at him square in the face and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's pretty religious. It doesn't matter what your religious background is. It doesn't matter what kind of religion you was raised up in. You want to be saved? You come this morning. Regardless of your previous life, regardless of your religious upbringing, and may I say to you, regardless of your self-worth. I'm just going to be honest with you, and I'm finished, and that's this. Do you know the Lord is not nearly as concerned about your past as you are? You know what He's concerned about? Today and your future. He's just concerned about, will you come? You say, but Brother Todd, I've been involved in this, and maybe we have a person here that's fought alcoholism. Maybe you have a person that's had a sex addiction, or you've been involved in all kinds of promiscuity. I'm here to tell you this morning, I read my scripture, read it one more time before I came to church this morning, and I still believe it said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that's what it says. And you know what? I just believe that's what it means. That you can be saved regardless of your self-worth. You see, He's not nearly as concerned about your past as you are. You know what He's concerned about? He's concerned about now. Because now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Your decision is going to be saved or not to be. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. With heads bowed and eyes closed, can I say this? Do you not think that God already knew your life from beginning to ending? And everything in between. You see, when Jesus died over 2,000 years ago, He saw into eternity future and saw my life and yours. Yet He was still willing to pay your debt for sin. May I say to you, now it's up to you to be or not to be. That's the question. Are you going to be a worshiper or not? Are you going to conform or not? Are you going to be content or not? Are you going to serve or not? And for some, are you going to be saved or not? If you're here under the sound of my voice this morning and you say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven's my home. I can remember being born into the family of God, and I'm glad of it. I want you to slip your hand up way up high as a testimony before the Lord. Just slip your hand way up high. You say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that